Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the February 7th meeting of the Richmond Water and Sewer Commission. This is the first meeting of the month of February. Before we begin tonight, I just want to pass along some sad news. Richmond lost somebody very important to many of us last Thursday, February 3rd. Jeff Urbanek, former town manager, passed after fighting very hard with a very aggressive pancreatic cancer for the past 2 years. Jeff will certainly be missed. His impact will live on for a long time through the quality work that he did as town manager. In addition to remembering Jeff, I want everybody to keep Jeff's wife, Elizabeth, and their son, Malachi, in your thoughts and prayers. Having said that, anybody else have any public comments to make?
This is Fran. I just want to say what I said before the meeting started, how wonderful it is to have our incredible water and sewer crew who have kept all lines running well all winter. And if you receive notices from Burlington, you know they've had to boil water quite a bit, and we've been just fine here in Richmond. So thank you, Kendall and crew, for all your hard work.
Absolutely.
Kendall, you and Bard and Fran, and to some extent Josh, I'm sure remember this time of year and years past, as the temperature goes up and down, the lines used to break. And we haven't had that. So, you know, as uncomfortable as bond payments and debt are, it is nice to have a secure system that can actually weather without breaking. So thank you, Kendall, for your leadership and pointing us to directions where money's needed to be spent to maintain our infrastructure. And I've said it many times, but I'll say it again. It's awful hard to spend $20,000 or $30,000 a year to fix a line that has to be replaced. The money is just gone. Fortunately, the commission is not in that position anymore. I can't take credit for that, but I can draw it to our attention and appreciate it. So thank you, Kendall and crew. Anything else before we begin? Josh, members of the commission, are there any additions or deletions to be made to the warned agenda before us tonight? Sounds good. Moving on into our warned agenda, we are at item 3A, consideration of approval of preliminary water and sewer allocation for RR0160 and RR0198. This, I'm assuming, is the new development off Railroad Street. Josh or Kendall, do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, this is the new development off Railroad Street, the future home of the Richmond Market. So they've come tonight for preliminary allocation request of 1,507 gallons of wastewater and 1,507 gallons of water. And this is a preliminary request. They would like to also request an extension of the 60 days to come back for final, to up to 6 months to come back for final review or for final allocation request. One thing I should note is they're also looking into seeing what the current allocation is for both of those parcels. And when they come back for final, their final request might be less than the preliminary, but they kind of wanted to go for the max right now so they could get other permitting taken care of, and then come back for final once they have everything else sorted out. And I know
so Josh,
Brian Courier is here from the project, and Kendall might have more to add too, but go ahead, David.
I was just going to say, is it fair to say that at this point, this is just to proceed with permits and applications, and the final allocation might be different than what we're approving tonight?
Correct.
Yes.
David, okay. If I could, this is Bard, to propose a motion that move to approve the preliminary water and wastewater allocations for RR0160 and RR0198, and to allow for up to 6 months to request final allocation approval.
Thank you, Bard. Do we have a second?
Fran, I'll second.
Thank you, Fran. Motion made by Bard, seconded by Fran. Any further discussion before calling the motion to a vote? Hearing none, seeing none, calling the motion to a vote, please identify yourself and signify your vote.
Fran, aye.
Aye.
Bard, aye.
And this is David, aye. Motion has been approved unanimously. Thank you for this development. I think it will be an attractive asset for downtown Richmond. Okay, moving on. Josh, did you want to lead the discussion on feedback from attorneys and the VLCT regarding where we are with the water and sewer expansion in the Gateway District at this point?
Sure. So from the last meeting, we had a couple of questions. We wanted to follow up with our attorneys to make sure that we were being clear that the intention was to use permitted flows in the beginning of bond payback and then use actual flows that point from each point forward so that we would base allocation of the bond payback on actual flows. And we also wanted to follow up with the Vermont League of Cities and Towns to ask them sort of the same questions we asked the attorneys about how to set up the special assessment district and if we could use actual flows. So I included some lengthy back and forth with VLCT in the memo for the commission, but I think at the end here, the result is that not much has changed as far as the opinion. We still need to go through the same process to set up the special assessment district, and it does not seem that using actual flows is advisable through either organization. So I think we need to try to figure out how do we want to set up the bond payback, and maybe it might be a breakout call with our attorney to kind of bounce some ideas off and try to figure out a way to get to a spot that might work for the future users, work for equity, and also work legally with the way we're able to set it up.
Go ahead, Bard.
I will only note that I received this missive with some dismay after 7 years of discussion to have reached a unexpected fork in the road, if you will. But putting that dismay and history aside, I think the question is where we go from here in terms of what is permissible and viable. It is a bit daunting given the length of time we've discussed this in a certain approach. And now revisiting a question that we had presumed to be answered. But again, putting that aside, where do we go from here?
I hate to suggest this, but I'm inclined to think that we might be wise to have a breakout group with the attorneys to briefly discuss how we got here and intently discuss where we go from here.
And one other thing I would observe, Dave, if I could, there was a discussion, I think, of water and sewer. And, you know, I haven't fully digested this for what it's worth, but if we did water and sewer, does that change the fee structure based on flows? Or is that ironclad, whether it's water, sewer, or both? Mm.
Yeah, I've read through it, but I couldn't understand it, I'll be honest.
This is Fran. In reading through it, I don't think we can do anything on flows, even if we did have water. Sure. I think that's pretty much ruled out, and we have to figure out a different way of doing it. But Bard, that's an excellent question. So.
Yeah.
I thought I saw Kendall's thumb go up there at one point.
Yeah, I don't know where it went.
I think it went into your beard.
So the attorney was very confusing.
Because, you think?
According to our charter, you can only have one water and sewer district. You can't make another one. But they're saying you have to do a special assessment area. It doesn't make any sense to me. Just my two cents.
Yeah, Kendall, I'm having a hard time understanding how our charter and our policies don't seem to be fully meshed with the guidance that our legal counsel is giving us. There are a couple of things that just don't make sense to me.
Well, David, it's Bart again, to your point, because we could probably debate this ad nauseum tonight, perhaps a subset of us to meet with the attorney and make sure we get clear answers. Is this for water, sewer only, water and sewer, water only? So that we're, given our history, absolutely clear on what our legal parameters are. You know, I'm also daunted by the prospect of, you know, other folks who have had an interest, like the REAPs, were looking to move forward sooner rather than later. And all these things start to feel like additional delays after years of discussion. So I think maybe to expedite that and get as clear as we can about the boundaries, like what are absolutely our legal parameters. And from that, a discussion of what's the best course forward. Of course, this was all predicated on how do we get people to sign up for a system without knowing what the costs are. And right. We're still debating what the cost structure would be, right?
I'm inclined to take a pause now at this juncture and not risk a bigger pause, delay, derailment, whatever, down the road. I want to proceed with a clear understanding and a sound plan of how we go forward.
One other comment on the upside, it is perversely reassuring to hear the same direction from more than one source. So we have sort of validation or verification from both Vermont League of Cities and Towns and our attorney. So in an odd way, that's sort of reassuring, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who do we want to, who in the commission wants to volunteer to set up or be involved in a Zoom call with the attorney that we can set up for later this week or early next? That's the way we're going.
You know, this is Bart. I'm willing to do it, but I got to tell you, my schedule during the legislative session is unusually challenging.
Yeah.
I should have some availability Thursday or Friday.
Okay.
I'm going to have to pass because I'm flat out at schools every day, which precludes me from having daytime meetings.
Mm-hmm. Jay, your hand was up, and now it's down.
Yeah, I don't know why it went down if I didn't lower it. I would be happy to take part. I've said absolutely nothing so far tonight because I find this completely bewildering, and I would love to have some light dawn, so I'd be happy to be in that meeting.
Okay. I will work to set up, I'll copy both David and Jay on a invite with the attorney to try to figure out when on Thursday or Friday we can get it together. So thank you. And well, Kendall, Jay, of course, I'll include you.
Just a comment, you're not alone. If I remember correctly, Walt Kelly had three characters named Bewildered, Bottled, Bothered, and Befuddled. So
three maybe bats, we're... yeah, those three little bats.
Yes. Maybe that's our current cast of characters.
Right. It just seems to make no sense to me that you would do anything other than based on flow. I'm just bewildered that that does not seem to be an option. You know, it just, yeah. I'd be interested in, and this may have been mentioned at other meetings, but how have other towns handled this? Do they find that if they base it on frontage that their customers don't rebel?
Yeah, that's one of the questions I want some clarification on.
Yeah, so this, you know, for people who have not had a chance to dive into this, there are a couple of options apparently, including grand list value and road frontage. Road frontage would seem arguably the least appropriate. And grand list value at least has some potential relationship to usage, but of course, one could have a modestly priced property that's a high user, and then a high priced user or a high priced property that's a low user.
Right. Yeah. And that's why I say it just makes no sense. I mean, you can make a really compelling argument about either of those approaches.
Yeah. Anything else tonight on feedback on the discussion between the VLCT and our legal counsel? So it sounds like we'll take this offline later in the week, try to get some clarification on how we got here and some understanding on the best way to proceed. Anything else before we move on? Moving on. Okay, so next is item 3C, review of engineers' estimates for cost to construct wastewater and water line extensions in the gateway. Josh, did you want to lead this discussion?
Sure, I can lead us off on this. So before I get into the engineer's estimate, I do want to share some news from Green Mountain Engineering, which is the engineering firm that we've been using right along for this project, probably going back to 6-7 years ago when we did the preliminary engineering report. We received a call from their owner earlier last week that he is unfortunately closing the business. He expressed he's had a lot of hard time trying to find qualified help, and he, through other factors, just has made the decision to close the business. It's going to be effective February 18th. So only a couple weeks left working with Green Mountain Engineering. And yeah, it's a shame. I expressed to him that, you know, Steve Palmer and Ben Kayer, who are the two engineers that we've worked with the most on the most recent waterline projects, and Steve's been very involved in the Gateway project, that they've both done an outstanding job for the town. And we really enjoyed working with both of them on all these projects. So we've also already started a bit of a transition. We have done a lot of work with Tyler Billingsley, who of East Engineering. He's worked with other projects in town. So he's starting to get up to speed a little bit on some of the projects that we're working with Green Mountain, so that we can keep things moving forward and not really slow ourselves down. But I wanted to make sure we shared that with the commission, because they've certainly been a great partnership or relationship with that company.
Josh, two quick questions.
Did
Steve give any advice on who he would recommend to contract with going forward?
It's actually a great question. Didn't have a chance to talk with him about that. Get some feedback. I think I'll ask him that question. I mean, I think Kendall and I both immediately went to Tyler, knowing that he's done a lot of work for the town in the past. But I'll follow up with Steve and see, you know, if he's got some other thoughts of people that might work out well. Kendall, I don't know if you've had a chance to talk with him in any more detail.
Yes, Tyler has spoke with Green Mountain Engineering for a possible transition, and Alan and the crew is receptive of that. So
okay. My second question, which I think you just answered, would Steve be interested in working as a consultant through the transition?
Initially, the conversations that I've had with both Steve and Ben about Alan is that as of February 19th, Green Mountain Engineering will not exist, period. That may change over the next week or so. But that's why we've kind of been scrambling to see if we could get Tyler to come online and transition into some of the projects, and maybe work with Steve and Ben to speed that along. I guess Alan has had enough.
Mm. Was it this project that did him in?
I would like to think not.
My question is, and this is a natural question when a business dissolves, are there documentation records that they have that we should ask for to move to our possession? Because once they close, arguably there's no obligation to give anybody anything, kind of disappears.
Yes, Ben came by today and dropped off all the as-builts that he has, and they're going to finish up everything that they've been doing. And I've still got my contacts with Ben and stuff. So he's going to be around, and both Steve is going to be around. So they have a better memory than I do. So with the as-built and such, we should be in good shape. The best shape we can be in, really.
Back to you, Josh.
Okay. So
any other surprises?
No, and I apologize. I meant to put that into the memo for you guys, and got to the end on Friday and realized I had forgotten to do that. But yeah, that was a bit of a surprise last week. So what we had asked Steve to do was on the wastewater side, you know, we have an estimate in the initial PER for wastewater based on some assumptions for development in the Gateway District. That estimate was $708,903 to extend from the current end of the system out to the mobile station. So that's phases one and two. As we discussed, well, how big should we really build the system? He went in and looked at what it would do to size the system such that it could handle a flow that would bring us up to the maximum permitted flows that could be received by the current facility. So that price is $968,720. So that gives us a bit of a range on some things to look at pricing-wise for wastewater. We also asked about the water line, and he looked at two possible options. He looked at a 12-inch line going, again, from the end of the current system out to the mobile station, knowing that a 12-inch line would allow us to provide for enough pressure for fire flows, for sprinklers and buildings down the line. That came in at $1,599,800. He then, knowing that that might be a little expensive, looked at a 4-inch line, and that would be $704,015. These prices for both water and wastewater take into account the final design, the construction, as well as some estimate of cost on the Act 250 permit. Kendall had asked about an 8-inch line, knowing that we could do some sprinkling on 8-inch line, and Kendall can probably explain those details better than I can. I don't know if Steve will have a chance to give us an estimate on an 8-inch line, or if we'll have to kind of follow it up with Tyler after the company dissolves. But at least that gives us some more numbers to look at and consider as we figure out how we want to move forward. Kendall, do you have anything to add to that? I know you had some technical questions with Steve that I was not fully explaining well.
Yeah, the memo explains it well.
Okay.
I'm certainly not an engineer, but I'm very surprised that the increase in pipe size increases the price so much. I was thinking more of the cost was labor and excavation and site work, and I'm just struck that the increase in the pipe diameter is that much more expensive.
Yeah, I think the way Steve explained it was that with the directional boring, when you get to sizes that are that big, there's much more expense and cost involved in boring a hole that size versus a 4-inch. So I don't think it's
okay,
the money
it is
necessarily in the pipe. It's more in the installation of that size of a pipe.
Okay, so it is a sizable increase in labor then.
Yeah, and whatever technology machinery they need for that bore.
Okay, still surprising, but it makes a little bit more sense. See, I think at this point, in my mind, it would make sense to get more discussion on, I think a 4-inch, just, you know, I'm not an engineer, but I don't see a 4-inch line being that viable. I guess some discussion on possibly 8-inch or 12-inch with those that know.
David, isn't the difference in deferring maybe here to Kendall, but isn't a lot of that going to be sprinkler pressure? And it depends like
and
what
fire
flow
hydrant
you're trying to put through it. Yeah, sprinklers and fire hydrants, that's probably the kicker, right? As opposed to residential commercial per se.
Yeah.
And I guess that explains Kendall's question about 8-inch and why it's not just open trench and putting in 4, 8, or 12, where there would probably be less difference.
Yeah.
But if it's boring, I can appreciate that it is different.
Yeah, I think in the memo, wasn't it that 8-inch would allow for the fire hydrants, which were one of the things that Kendall, you had suggested should at least go to the REIT property to allow for that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if you want fire,
no,
you really shouldn't consider anything less than an 8-inch.
Now, refresh my memory, where is the boring in that line?
I'm sorry, where's the boring?
I think on the diagram, it shows the water line being on one side of Route 2 and the sewer line being on the other, right? I have that right?
Right.
In the diagram.
You know, David, I bring this up with some trepidation, but talking about a substantial price increase to support fire protection calls out a more nuanced conversation about the role of the water sewer system and commissioner in providing fire protection for the town.
Yeah. Well, there are two parts to that. There's overall fire protection. You know, one wouldn't have to argue too hard to make the argument that if a fire hydrant was right next to the on-ramp, that hydrant would be used to bring water to the interstate. But there's also the fire protection for that expansion in the district. But certainly conversations need to be had.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, if you were having seen the different fire departments fill up like on Main Street in the past and then go to Williston direction, that they prefer not to come that far and would probably prefer to stop further out of town, closer to those destinations and where traffic might be more easily managed.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Who knew that water sewer systems could be so complicated?
Kendall.
Not me. Any other discussion on preliminary cost estimates for wastewater and water line expansion?
I think Kendall has his hand up, David.
He does. Go ahead, Kendall.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that that really is the big question that we were looking to have answered, was that if you are not going to be concerned about fire flows and protection at all, you could potentially reduce that line even smaller than a 4-inch. And it is a substantial money saving. So really it is a question for the commission whether you are going to provide fire protection out there or not. The benefit of fire protection out as far as the mobile station is that you could probably save everybody out within a certain distance of that final hydrant because of the brigades that the fire departments do now to move water. They would have a much more robust source, which would reduce fire insurances down by Riverview and the business district. Just a thought. Thank you.
Thank you, Kendall. Any other comments on the preliminary cost estimates? Okay, are we ready to discuss a review of the fiscal year 22 second quarter financial reports? Josh, did you want to lead that?
So included in the packet, we've got the budget status report as well as some other documents to detail the finances the first half of FY22. I think overall, in general, everything's looking pretty much on track. Salaries are right about 50%, which is where you'd expect them to be at budget. Delinquencies are down again. They're looking pretty good. So people are keeping up on their payments, and accepted revenue continues to trend upward.
Any questions on the financials? No. Okay, just give me a second to pull the agenda back up here. Kendall, are you ready for the superintendent's report?
Sure, the big item at the moment is we have had a mixer fail inside the reservoir. It turns out that they only are expected to have a 5 to 6 year life expectancy, which is crazy for a mixer that you put inside of a reservoir and you have to dive to replace. So we have been getting quotes for replacing the mixer from all of the dive companies around and the ones that we've used. We are also looking into a solar option for a mixer, which would make a lot of sense up there on the big flat roof with no trees around it. The solar mixer is more expensive, but over the long run, as you know, you would definitely probably save money. So We're working on getting some prices for that. It looks like it's probably 30 to 50,000 to replace the mixer. The phosphorus sampling project is starting to quay up again. We'll probably have to be doing some sampling through different parts of the plant for our phosphorus optimization plan that's coming up. We have finally fixed the furnaces. Both furnaces in the dewatering building and the main building had some issues that we repaired. The invoices are in the warrants this week. We also fixed our sodium aluminate tank that had a leak down at the bottom of it. We have completely repaired that. Now, we've been doing a lot of work on meters and customer service in the cold weather. We just cleaned out all the hydrants today. It took a little bit longer to get to it, the short staff. And just so the board is aware, we are still looking diligently for a position filler, but there are more than 7 positions currently open in the area for wastewater water personnel. So, and all of those towns are in our same position. They're looking and trying to find folks. So it's a tough market at the moment. That's pretty much it. Thank you.
Hey, this is Fran.
Thank you, Kendall.
Can I just jump in? Maybe just a nice putting a note on Front Porch Forum for any residents who happen to clear out around fire hydrants as a way to encourage people who might have them near their house to take the time to shovel them out. I know we clear out the one by our house, but it might be a nice thing, just a recognition that might encourage other people to do that as well.
Absolutely. I mean, didn't quite get to that today because Alan was at the very end of the day when he got all the hydrants finished up, but he did mention that there were some awesome customers that had cleaned their hydrants out.
Yeah, so it just might be nice to encourage people to take that on should they want to.
David, if I could, it's Bard. You know, I've been hearing a lot of discussion and testimony about workforce, and Kendall's observation, you know, this workforce issue is wide and deep, and I don't know when it will change. I've heard organizations that said, you know, 2 years ago, they were hiring people to start at $15 an hour, and now they don't get applicants until they start offering 18 to 20 to start. So I think just our environment is unprecedentedly dynamic. You know, I've been around for a while and it's never been like this before. And I think some people are crossing their fingers that it will change, that there will be an influx of workers. But I think the future right now is difficult to predict. I think this staffing question, inclusive of compensation, is a really challenging conversation for many, many organizations, including our own.
Agreed. Anything else on the superintendent's report? Okay, sounds like we're ready to move on to minutes, warrants, and purchase orders. Let's start with the minutes. Could I get a motion to approve the draft minutes of the January 18th meeting?
Move. This is Jay.
I'll second. This is Fran.
Thank you, Jay. Moved by Jay, seconded by Fran. Any discussion on suggested edits to the draft minutes?
No.
Hearing none, calling the motion to a vote. This is a motion to approve the minutes of the January 18th Water and Sewer Commission meeting. Please identify yourself and signify your vote.
Fran, aye.
If Jay, aye.
Bard, aye.
And this is David, aye. Minutes have been approved unanimously. I was just looking at the warrants. I can't find that purchase order. Am I not seeing it, or is it in the package there?
I don't think there was a purchase order that was over 10,000.
Oh,
was
okay.
That one that you're saying?
I thought Kendall said.
Yeah, no, I think that the repairs that he talked about were under 10, and I was able to sign them in the warrant. Yeah.
Okay. So can we have
the one that I won't
be
able to sign?
The $50,000 solar mixer. Yeah.
No, that.
So can we have a motion to approve the warrants as presented?
There you go.
Not yet.
Jay, move to accept the warrants as presented.
Thank you, Jay.
This is Fran. I'll second.
Thank you, Fran. Motion made by Jay, seconded by Fran. Any discussion on the warrants? Any questions? Anybody need any clarifications? Hearing none, they looked good to me. I didn't give them a thorough dive, but I did go through them. Okay, calling the motion to a vote. All of those in favor of approving the warrants as presented, please identify yourself and signify your vote.
Fran, aye.
Jay, aye.
Bard, aye.
And this is David, aye. The warrants have been approved. Okay. Items for next agenda. So obviously, I imagine we will be reviewing the conversations with our legal counsel on where we go from here. Probably some follow-up conversation on post Green Mountain engineering and further discussion on sizing of potential water expansion. Anything else for our next agenda?
David, it's Bard. I think maybe I misremember, we sort of skipped over the second quarter financial report. To any comments on those? I know they're here, but other than just saying they're here, like maybe pause and give people a chance. Never mind.
Any questions on the financial reports? Okay. Anything else?
One other thing, David, you know, given our circumstances with the discussion of the water sewer extension, should we be contemplating perhaps off-cycle meetings again? Because some of those may get into longer discussions and more challenging decisions.
Yeah, it might make sense to have a meeting next week to discuss what we're going to discuss later this week. How does the commission feel about that?
Fine with that.
Sounds like a plan. Okay. So that would be Valentine's Day, February 14th, 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock would be good. I got to be done by 7.
That works, because the expansion meeting got me out of my anniversary, so this will get me out of Valentine's Day. Thanks, Bard. Anything else to discuss tonight? Okay. I guess at this point, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
This is Fran, so moved.
Jay, second.
Thank you, Fran. Thank you, Jay. Motion to adjourn made by Fran, seconded by Jay. Bringing the motion to a vote, please identify yourself and signify your vote.
Fran, aye.
Jay, aye.
Bard, aye.
And this is David, aye. We are adjourned at 6:39 p.m. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.